Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 26th day of April. I am your host, Paul White. Thanks for joining me today. We have arrived at the little Old Testament book of Nahum, N-A-H-U-M. Not a book you hear a lot of preaching and teaching out of. Part of that is because, well, it's short, three chapters long. It's also probably because it contains a very specific set of prophecies to a very specific people. You could say that Nahum, in some ways, is Jonah part two. Not so much in the Jonah story, but in the Jonah content of his ministry. Remember, Jonah was called to take a message of judgment to Nineveh. And when he arrived, finally, after his whale incident, he preaches, they repent, and then the story follows Jonah out of the city. We kind of leave Nineveh alone. What we do find is that God is very concerned with Nineveh. There's a Gentile place, and very concerned with those inhabitants of Nineveh, and you would think the story is over from there. Fast forward about 100 years, and you arrive at the ministry of Nahum. He, as well, is called to preach to Nineveh. Verse 1, the burden, or the oracle in the Hebrew, the prophecy against Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry and dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, and the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. I want to point out, as I'm describing, or actually just reading word for word, that's so far the first five verses of Nahum. Notice the imagery, how God is a whirlwind and a storm. Clouds are the dust. He makes the sea dry. He dries up rivers. Mountains quake in front of him. None of that stuff literally happens. God never made a sea go dry. He doesn't cause the rivers around the city to actually dry up. See this as language, poetic, prophetic language. That's apocalyptic, unveiling prophetic language in a Hebrew sense. I keep repeating these things over again because I think we have misunderstood the language of prophecy sometimes, and we've taken it to be literal. When the originators of this language used the narrative as a way of speaking lofty ideas. So it's bigger to say, God, you could say, God is powerful. Or you could say, God is so powerful and so large that the clouds you see are the dust of his feet trampling the heavens, and the blast of his nostrils takes the water out of rivers. Now you've got something to work with. And none of it's to be taken literal, but all of it is to be meant to inspire. It is to lift up the subject of God. Who can stand, verse 6, who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. I want to stop there. What I really want to bring out, and this is all I'm going to read to you from Nahum, and read those three chapters, and watch how Nahum, really what's happening is Nahum is called to be the next message to Nineveh. They followed what Jonah told them. They repented, but about 100 years later, they're right back in the same boat. And so God brings another prophet. He truly wants to save this Gentile city. This time, they do not repent. And they've went back to violence and idolatry and arrogance. And so Nahum prophesies that Babylon is going to be used to destroy the city. No trace of it's going to remain. And that's exactly what happens. But I love this first chapter's descriptions of God through the lens of that narrative language. The Lord is jealous, the Lord avenges, the Lord has his way. But listen to this, the Lord is slow to anger, the Lord is great in power, that's verse 3. Listen to verse 7, The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And never forget these things. In the midst of all of this language about God, about what He looks like and what He does and who He is, never forget that what would shine through this perceived darkness is that the Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is good. And when you can describe God in those terms, you're describing God through the lens of what we see in Jesus. It is Christ that becomes the centerpiece of the definition of God. And so now we don't have to use lingo and metaphor and simile to describe God. Because when we stay in that mode, we often end up describing Him in very militaristic terms. You know, God is... And that's how we end up with God wrapped in flags and eagles and driving tanks, is because we're trying to take modern visions of power and translate them over into the image of God. But what changes when you get to Christ, this is what's been beautiful about taking this Old Testament journey. What's beautiful is that when you get to Christ, you get all of the things accented about God wrapped up in one person. And it sounds a lot like Nahum 1:3 and Nahum 1:7. The Lord is slow to anger, and He's great in power, and the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And so rather than using the imagery of nations and militaries and the world to describe God, use the image of God portrayed through the life of Jesus. And like we said yesterday or the day before, this stuff kind of runs on for me, but... If you're not wrestling with the content of Jesus' day-to-day life, it's difficult to consider yourself a disciple. So take a look at how He lived this out. And then as you take a look at that, you let that influence how you live this out on the earth as well. Nahum's name in the Hebrew is comfort or consolation. It's actually the root form or the shortened form of the larger word Nehemiah. And I encourage you, take a look at those three little chapters in the book of Nahum. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about the book of Habakkuk, a little longer book, or not necessarily longer, same amount of chapters, but a little more to say, I think, as there's a few things that I think need accented through the lens of the new covenant. We'll get busy on that tomorrow. See you then. God bless.